many moons ago, the party that African Americans, back then they were called Negroes. Mm-hmm. Actually, they were, some people called them worse than that, but we don't use that language right. on this show. The party when black people were first given the vote. After the Civil War, those states that gave black people the vote before the Civil War, the party and the candidates they supported then were the Republican Party.
That's right.
Yes, you know, and that continued through the 60s and the 70s. There were African Americans who Republican presidents named to their cabinet, mm-hmm. who served in their White House, mm-hmm. who did all kind of great things. And now, you know, some people think black Republican is like the N-word. Hmm. But there's a proud tradition, and even here in Indianapolis, there has been a proud tradition of African-American Republican elected officials that have served the community for a number of years. Great people going back to the legendary Ray Kroc and Brother Kuykendall and a lot of great folks. So there is the African-American Republican Council of Marion County. And this came up on the program Friday because, you know, folks that are new to town don't understand the history. And the fact that black Republicans were here when the state wasn't together. Mm-hmm. We're talking about way back in the day. And, you know, they're still around. And, you know, some youngins just don't understand all that. So in the House is the chair of the African-American Republican Council of Marion County, the legendary Jocelyn Tandy Adonde. We also have the Reverend Carl Kelly, who is the head of the Frederick Douglass Foundation of Indiana. We'll find out about that. And then Reggie Jones. Everybody knows Reggie Jones, but they don't know that Reggie Jones is a Republican.
Praise the Lord.
Wait a minute. Folks just started throwing stuff at the radio.
Lord. Some do, because I've been called and said, Reggie, what are you doing? Why are you a Republican? Then I have to explain why.
Anyway, guys, welcome. Let me first ask, particularly of the two organizations, Jocelyn, what is the African American Republican Council of Marion County? And then I want Reverend Carl Kelly to come back and say, what's the Frederick Douglass Foundation of Indiana? Jocelyn.
Okay. Amos, many people know I'm a native daughter, born and raised here, spent 30 years on the other side in the Democrat Party, and I switched in 99. But in 2006, when I switched over, there was no organized group of African Americans working in the Republican Party. You had people appointed to positions, but they were not active in the community trying to bring together those African Americans, because my mother was a Republican, and so was my uncle, in the Tandy family. So in the Jackson family, my mother's brother was the 23rd Ward chairman for years down there at 16th of Martindale. So I grew up in an African American. My father was a proud black man. Mm-hmm. So these people, our older blacks, were voting Republican, okay? Right. After Roosevelt, with these social programs, the Democrats used many of these social programs to hold on to the African-American vote. And from the late 40s through the early 60s, this is when our people began to vote Democrat. Now, when you look at pandering, all politicians pander to a certain group of people to win an election. In 2006, I was at the Hyatt Regency at the celebration when Carl Brizzi was elected prosecutor. And standing there with the big screens watching the election returns, I was thoroughly disgusted that he was the only Republican that won. Now, when I was working with Democrat candidates for 30 years in this county, in state and nation, the Republicans had all the offices. They had the governor's office, the mayor's office, the county auditor, all the county offices were Republicans. One of the reasons I switched parties because they changed their party platform. Mm-hmm. And one thing about the party platform, many people who vote Democrat or Republican really don't know what their party stands for. You know, I'm a Christian before I'm anything. But I grew up in the civil rights movement in this city and state, and I've held offices in the NAACP. I worked for President Carter as his Minority Affairs Advisor in 1980 in his reelection campaign. I worked for Senator Vance Harkey as his Minority Affairs Advisor. So for those people who just got off the boat, you don't know my history and you don't know my background.
All right, let me go, Reverend Kelly. What is Frederick Douglass Foundation of Indiana?
Frederick Douglass Foundation of Indiana is part of a national group based out of Atlanta, where Reverend Timothy Johnson is the national president. Mm-hmm. And we are an organization that puts forward the platforms that built the Republican Party and the conservative movement. Frederick Douglass was one of the primary supporters of the founding of the Republican Party, which was founded on a platform of abolition. Mm-hmm. And that platform is what put Abraham Lincoln in the White House. And he became an advocate for the rights of black people, for the pushing for the support to put black men in the military. And he was one of the first supporters of women's rights with Susan B. Anthony at that time. So this organization is designed to promote the issues, to support the Constitution and the laws of our country. One of our statements of purpose says, where justice is denied, where poverty is enforced, and where ignorance prevails, and where any one class is made to feel that society is an organized conspiracy to oppress, rob, denigrate them, neither person nor property will be safe. These are the words of Frederick Douglass.
Let me ask you guys, and I've said this on the program before, once any president, whether it's Richard Nixon or Ronald Reagan or Bill Clinton or Dwight David Eisenhower or George W. Bush or Barack Obama gets elected for their second term, mm-hmm. they can't run again.
Right.
True. Okay. I mean, at that point, both parties set up their next generation to come behind a two-term president.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that President Obama is not going to run again, does this give Republicans, particularly African-American Republicans, an opportunity over these next 2 years to begin to make to rebuild bridges back to African-American voters? Because when we get to 2016, there's not going to be a person of color at the top of either national ticket, Democrat or Republican, mm-hmm. you know, being fair. So the emotion and the pride that existed then is not going to happen in 2016. Does that give black Republicans or the Republican Party an opportunity to reach back out to the community? What does the party need to do?
Well, Amos, it does give them an opportunity to reach out, and one of the agendas in the Republican Party was to go after grassroots people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's very important. That plays right back into what Jocelyn has been doing all along.
Yes.
In terms of recruiting black Republicans. Unfortunately, we have been brainwashed that the Democrats were the ones that fought for the civil rights and all of those things, when it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Martin Luther King was a Republican.
Yes.
And along with the bill that was passed, resolution bill that was passed in apologizing for slavery, segregation, that was done in 2007, then passed the House in 2009, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Those things.
Affirmative action started with Richard Nixon.
Right, mm-hmm. right. All of those things have to be looked at to make our young people and Democrats who refuse to look at the real issues are there's a consistency of trying to push the black agenda in terms of the community. You got Jackie Cecil, who's right there as a special aid for the mayor. You got
Governor Pence.
You got Jamal, Civil Rights Commission.
Mm-hmm.
You jump down. You got Greg Wilson, local for. Mm-hmm. So we can name Republicans as being involved, but we want to make sure that we get the grassroots, the people who don't usually vote Republican, right, to understand the issues, and then we got to understand Democrats haven't pushed community issues as hard as they should be. We can talk about unemployment. Yeah, well, you know, Joe Simpson, VOP, I have to give them credit for that. I have to give Duke Oliver is another one.
Right.
But as a whole, I'm talking about the initiatives have not been pushed in our community. We're looking at housing as being Keystone. Go down Keystone and see all the boarding of housings up there. You know, what are we doing about that? People are moving back into the inner city. We need to understand what's going on, and it needs to be a voice for both sides of the parties. Mayor Luke, when Luger was the mayor, that's what kind of shifted me in terms of him looking as a Republican, but listening to what was going on in our community.
Is it also that the party, not you guys from a grassroots perspective, but the big people, you know, because if I gathered some grassroots Democrats in this room, you know, they would be pointing fingers at the folks at the top of the pyramid in the Democratic Party. So, you know, and one of the reasons I say that is in the spirit of disclosure, I have to disclose that Jocelyn Tandy is a candidate for Marion County Clerk running against the endorsed candidate of the Republican Party for Marion County Clerk, just for the spirit of disclosure. But one of the things is the Republican Party in Marion County has endorsed three African Americans out of their county ticket of six. That ain't happened in this county in my memory. That's pushing 40 years and may not have happened in a long time. But the party, the ones at the top, ain't bragging about that. If you're making history, why not claim it?
Pastor?
Well, actually, that's the problem with the Republican Party, period, is, you know, there's an old preacher's term that says it's a poor frog that won't praise his own pond. And as a result of that, the Republican Party in Indiana has been very lackluster in supporting of minority candidates from the congressional candidacy on down to the mayorals and the counties. They've been very laxed at that. And but yet and still, when you look at the history of what's been going on in our country and even in Indiana, period, the most of the civil rights initiatives that have been instituted were promoted and passed with majority Republican support. And you can go all the way back to the 60s, to the
65 Senator Edward Dirksen, a Republican senator out of Illinois.
Yes.
Pushed it through under Lyndon Baines Johnson, but the Democrats took credit for it, and that was a Republican-controlled Congress.
And you take care of that. And to add to that, that bill was the exact bill that Dwight Eisenhower tried to get passed in 55 and 56, and were staunchly filibustered by John Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson.
Yes.
The exact wording was transferred over to that when John Kennedy in 62 was worried about the race riots and wondering what they would do. Mm-hmm. That's when they brought forward that language in their so-called Civil Rights Act and claimed it as a Democratic initiative.
239-1310, 239-1310. It's Afternoon News Amos. We're talking about another side of the political spectrum, African-American Republicans that have been around in Indiana since there have been black people.
Amen.
In Indiana. They didn't just come here, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago.
No.
They've been here before it was a state.
Amen.
239-1310, 239-1310. It's Afternoon News Amos. For some reason, my text ain't working today. The screen...
Well,
somebody scared the screen away, so you can send me an email.
The Republicans are here.
He sent me an email. Let me ask you one other thing before we get to the callers, because this I just found this by accident on the internet, and y'all, I'm gonna get this to stir y'all up because this don't make any sense to me. Evidently, the National Republican Party is running ads in black media during Black History Month. They're running them in Washington. Okay, I can understand in Washington because that's where all the politicians hang out. Mm-hmm. And they're in Washington, they're lifting up, and this is Rance Priebus is doing the ad, the chair of the Republican National Committee. The one that's running on radio in Washington is lifting up a judge in Ohio, Sarah Harper, a Michigan businessman, Bill Brooks, and Dr. Louis Sullivan down in Georgia. Then they're running ads in Cleveland where they're lifting up Judge Sarah Harper. I guess she's from Cleveland. And that's a Republican governor, Republican legislature, I believe, in Ohio, even though Cleveland's a Democratic city.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then they're in Atlanta, Georgia, they're lifting up Dr. Louis Sullivan, the former Secretary of Health and Human Services under the Bush administration, if my memory serves me correctly.
Right,
they're lifting in Atlanta, Republican state, Republican mm-hmm. legislature, Democratic city. Then they're lifting up in Detroit. Bill Brooks of Detroit, chairman of the GM Foundation, he served during in the Nixon and first Bush administrations, and Republican governor, Republican legislature. Now, here we are in Indiana, Republican governor, Republican legislature. How come Rance Priebus ain't doing nothing in Indiana to lift up an African-American hero or shero?
We're not on his agenda.
Well, can I now let me address that, Amos. Okay. I'm gonna respond to your question earlier. The African American Republican Council, our purpose was to recruit African Americans and to have a bigger role in the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. Okay, here in Marion County, mm-hmm. as of 2006, I can't speak for the other people.
Right.
Prior to this organization being formed, we wrote bylaws. We collected dues. We had an election. We had a luncheon and installation. In fact, Judge Cynthia Ayers, who is on the ticket for re-election,
and the longest. Other than counsel, she's the longest serving African American Republican elected official in this county.
Mm-hmm. She administered the oath of office to me and the other officers in the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I will repeat: we are a dues-paying organization.
Mm-hmm.
So for those people who choose not to join, you know we have a division in the black community.
Mm-hmm.
But I make no apology for being an activist and trying to move our people forward in this city and state. And because of our efforts, remember when the Republicans gained control of the city county council in 2007 when Mayor Ballard ran, Keith Smith and Barbara Malone were two of our members.
Mm-hmm.
The party did not recruit them.
Mm-hmm.
They came out of our organization as a result of me pushing and shoving in the background,
mm-hmm.
more so me than anybody else. I made a lot of enemies, and that's why you see more blacks on the county ticket, okay? Because I went to the Republican convention in 12, the presidential primary. They did not send one African-American to the national convention.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't have a crowd. See, this is why one person can make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
I stood down there and raised $1 million worth of H. Mm-hmm. They sent the national committeeman in there, who's a friend of mine,
right.
to pull me out. Because I said, where are the black delegates?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You have to be inside to make a difference. You can't be on the outside just criticizing. So since I'm good at doing this for the last 40 years, that yes, I'm known for raising sand, and anybody in this room, including you, can attest to that.
Yeah.
You make enemies when you stand up for black folks, okay? And I've made plenty of sacrifices to move our people forward. Well, at least when the national chairman came to town
mm-hmm.
and announced that he wanted to attract more minorities to the Republican Party,
mm-hmm.
against the wishes of some local whites in the party,
mm-hmm.
they had to fall in line with the national committee.
239-13, let me go to a phone call and then I'll take a break. Hi, Larry.
Hey, check this out, Amos.
What?
The only way they put them colored people in there is because they know they're going to lose in Marion County. Here's some advice. When you go behind that petition to vote, go straight to the rooster, fill in that oval, and sign your petition and hand it back, and you've done your job. The Republicans are, I don't know what they are, but we don't want them in control of this city. So we'll get all Democrats in, and then all their legislation will backfire on them. That'll be really funny to watch.
I appreciate it, Larry. 239-1310. 239-1310 is After News with Amos. We're with the members. We're with some of the members of the African American Republican Council of Marion County. Jocelyn Tandy Adonde, Reggie Jones, the Reverend Carl Kelly. We'll take more of your calls when we come back. I'm gonna try to get some of these dollars to help, because I almost did the, if the National Republican Party can lift up
yep.
Georgia
mm-hmm.
right. and Michigan
should be
and Ohio, you know, somebody ought to tell Governor Pence that Rance ain't showing, you know, his state some love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then Mike may call and, you know, yell at Rance Priebus. You never know.
Well, I'm in the position to address that issue.
All right, we'll be back with more after these. All right, welcome back. 239-1310. 239-1310. Saps News with Amos. On some of the key, let me ask you guys, on some of the key issues, particularly jobs and trying to get black households more stable. Because, again, if you deal with the jobs and the economics, you can improve the stability of the home. What, from a Republican point of view, what should we be doing as a community? What should Republicans be talking about to the community as to, you know, and what should Republican candidates be talking about?
They should be talking about how we can be an incentive to business in the county. And not a cost. Right now, the administrations federally are talking more what they can get out of business and that a business has a responsibility to provide jobs. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, the purpose of every business, including this one, is to make a profit. And if you ignore the basic economics of the situation for a social agenda and you promote that, And right now, that's the only thing that the minority community around Indianapolis is listening to is what the entitlement programs are about. If you ignore the fact that a business has a cost factor that has to be met with its agenda, how can you promote jobs?
Should Republicans also be talking about the fact that the reentry legislation that the legislature passed by huge bipartisan majorities is not the best legislation in the world.
That's the one where recidivism of ex-offenders?
Yeah, where you can, you know, you can get records expunged for the purpose of getting a job. And Judd McMillan down in toward Brookville, Republican, you know, pushed that legislation. It was all and passed by wide margins in the House and the Senate, Republicans and Democrats. Is that something that they ought to be talking about?
It's something they ought to be doing.
No, and they've done it.
Yeah, but it's more than just talking about it. That is the first step. It's not the only. It's the first step. Because every one of those individuals who have broken the law are going to come back out here on these streets. Right. And the harder you make it for them to make it legitimately on their own, the more likely they are to become a recidivism, a repeat offender. There are people that are just trying to find ways to make it harder. This is the type of thing that we should be doing. I talked with Judge Jane Magda Stinson about that over 10 years ago. And several others we were talking about what we should be doing to help these ex-offenders.
Amos, you sit on the round table, Governor Pence round table for career development, a career training. And I see an important role for the Republicans to look at and put people of the community, such as myself, that's been involved with training, that can talk to the community to get them involved. The JAG program is a great program, but it needs to be expanded more in our community, more knowledge made about it, where people that drop out of high school, people that wants to go back to school, go to college, or get a job, is being done. But we don't have enough spokesmen or the ear to the total to the Republican Party to listen what's being said. And Jocelyn has been a fighter for a long time from that point. And it has to be pushed. And let me just say this. In the Republican Party, no, we don't agree with everything, but we are there in their ear saying these things need to be done. We need more people to support us in getting those things done.
239-1310. 239-1310. Let me go to the phones. And Phil, hi there.
Yes.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, how you doing?
We're fine. What's up?
I need to know, where's my boy at? Emoja. He's running for public a seat, and seems like he's being left out. And I can't believe it's happening like this.
Well, since you've been encouraged to call by your boy, let me re-explain how we handle political candidates on this show. We will be inviting all of the candidates who are running for 10th District Congress, both the Democratic candidates and the Republican candidates, to appear on the program. We will give everybody fair notice when those candidates come on the program. Everybody will be able to know and call up on that time. We do not allow candidates for office to call in on other times during the campaign season. That is a longstanding rule of this program. All candidates should be aware of that rule, and if they're not, and since they listened and their supporters listened, now you know the rest of the story. So I appreciate your call, my brother. 239-1310, 239-1310. It's Afternoons with Amos. His call, if you got to play by the rules of the game. Amen. Reverend.
Praise the Lord. Amos, you know, I want to get back to that topic of the recidivism in the jobs. One of the biggest issues that we've had with individuals who have gone to prison is the remedial standards that they have to do in just to be able to read. And when you look at the statistics of what the actual educational problems are, everybody's looking at the high schools and the junior high schools and looking to throw money at the problem. The problem isn't there. You're fighting smoke there. Mm-hmm. The real fire is in our kindergarten and elementary level. That's where the real problem is. We had a program here last fall where we invited the director of the educational part of the juvenile center out here at 25th Street. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about some things, and I brought up the question. I said, how many of your individuals that you are going there, the ages between 12 and 17, how many of them are having educational problems or dropouts? And she said, over 80%. I said, of the total number of people you have there, how many of them are having problems with reading in English? Mm-hmm. She said, 70%. Mm-hmm. Now, 70, I said, well, how many of them would you consider illiterate or unable to read? 70%. Mm-hmm. Now there's something wrong with this math here. You're throwing money at junior high and the high schools and trying to fight the smoke up there when the problem is in the elementary school. If a child can't read in the third grade, and you socially promote him with this No Child Left Behind mess, then all of a sudden, all the thing you're doing is promoting a mess.
Now, notice that was a Republican that threw No Child
Left the bus. Now, let me correct you. Dorothy Height, National Council of Negro Women, took that program to George Bush when he was governor of Texas, and he improved the learning levels. Okay, but National Council of Negro Women, that was an idea that they took to Governor Bush in Texas. Mm-hmm. So it was not Republican. It was black females who were educators.
Man, okay.
And George borrowed that. Amen.
And he took it, and he took it to the White House.
Right. And with Kennedy.
And and instituted it, but guess what? Your Democrat-controlled Congress would not fund the program. That's why it failed.
Let me go to the phones at Dodd at 239-1310. Hi there. Hi, Dodd.
I'd like to ask the panel, why is the African-American community so mesmerized with Andre Carson as far as the leadership in this particular city, not in the nation?
His color?
Because there's nothing that he has done or accomplished that has really done anything for this community. I mean, why is it that this community is so mesmerized with Andre Carson? Maybe you guys can just sort of touch on some of the things that he should do, some of the things that he hasn't done, or what can he do? Thank you.
Oh, boy. Short answer, his color. Andre has done nothing to deserve the position that he's in. He's done nothing since he's been there other than to basically sell his vote to Nancy Pelosi on whatever she wants to do. I don't know of any legislation that he has put forward for not only for black people, but for the state of Indiana. I don't know of anything that he's done other than sell his vote. The only reason that they are mesmerized with him and think that he's such a great thing is because he's a black man. And for some reason, people of color in the city of Indianapolis have a little bit of reverse prejudice against someone with a different tint to their complexion. The reality is, if it wasn't for Julia, who was a stone-cold social program individual that was sold on the plight of the disenfranchised in our city, which I loved Julia, disagreed with her a lot, but I loved her. But now, Andre, I don't know what he stands for other than he wants to put madrasas, have the federal government start funding madrasas in the school. That's the only thing I've heard him say.
Is there a endorsed Republican candidate for 7th District Congress, or are the five men and women that are running, they just out there running?
They left that position open at the Slating Convention. We knew before Slating they were not going to endorse in the 7th District.
So when those five individuals are invited to come on this program, then that'll be the community's opportunity to find out what they would do if they were elected, and their responsibility to make those differences.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one thing I want to say about Governor Pence, I am very pleased that he is spearheading a move for vocational training. Mm-hmm. You know, before, under the former governor, they were talking about everyone should go to college. Well, at least they're putting vocational training back on the table. And in my conversations with people in the last 48 hours, I said, number one, it behooves every black parent, if your child is not an academic, then you need to ensure that he learns some kind of special skill to where he can be independent financially and earn a living. One thing about the Republican Party, they do support entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
They do promote being self-sufficient. Many of my members in this organization, when we organized, had their own business.
Mm-hmm.
None of them were beholden to the establishment. So we can afford to be independent and speak out. Mm-hmm. We can afford, because you cannot tell somebody not to come to me for my service, okay?
Right.
But, and they travel. Mm-hmm. They're in and out of town. So these people that are used to a structured, controlled situation, now we're free to practice our business, and then we're also free enough to go to Pharaoh, okay? And we do support our own causes.
Amen. Let me go to Ramona at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hello there, Amos, and your guest.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I think I have a question for Ms. Jocelyn.
Okay.
My question is, we have parties like the Libertarian, the Independent, and the Tea Party and so forth. Most of these people, they are named, but I think when it comes to voting that they probably do vote Republican. And what my question is, Miss Jocelyn had to get Abdul straight the other day. I think she said he was a Libertarian. So I think my question would be, don't most Libertarians and Tea Partiers and Independents end up voting Republican? And why is it so important that if you are a Republican and you vote Republican, why don't you say you're a Republican? And that's my question.
That's a great question.
Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because I met Mr. Abdullah in 2006 during the Brizzy campaign. And this is when he started hanging around Republican headquarters. But he will tell you in a heartbeat he's not a Republican. Okay?
Yes, he will.
If you ask him, he will tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
And so my criticism of him in the party is that certain white people divide and conquer.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to deal with somebody like me. They'd rather have him out here misrepresenting everybody and deceiving our people. Some blacks are more comfortable with being exclusive, being the only one. You know that mentality, okay? Instead of working together for the betterment, for the fact that he came out of Chicago, that was Daley's hometown. You had to be a Democrat living in Chicago. Now, when he came to Indianapolis, he saw the Bill Crawfords and all these people in power. He could not work his way up in the Democrat Party overnight. So he stepped over here on the Republican side, where he saw very few African Americans in positions, and worked his way up and bamboozled the white Republicans. Mm. And he knows I don't play. Now, for him to try to speak on a homegrown black female who's been a civil rights activist since high school, he made a big mistake.
That's an uneven fight there. let me go to Sadiq, and then we'll take a break at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hey, Sadiq.
First of all, I'm in disagreement on a couple points here. And one is, I think Andre has done an excellent job. However, I will say that the gentleman who spoke, he's entitled to his opinion. I respect that, but I challenge him to when he throws a dig on madrasas. What does that mean? Yeah, I know what madrasas are. I guarantee 90% of your community, the people out here listening, don't know. But that was sort of a low blow. And or please explain to me where the first madrasa is that he has established.
He hasn't established any, and the point came from a speech that he gave early last year where he was talking about the achievements of people in the black community and the educational system, and he was supporting the some type of funding program. I'm not sure what it was, but he said that he hoped that the president would begin to fund madrasas in the public school systems in this country. And now, a madrasa is a Muslim-based, a Sharia Muslim-based educational system. That's what a madrasa is.
What is Sharia? What does that mean?
That is the Muslim.
First of all, there's no Sharia-based madrasa. So you should I don't have no problem.
I didn't say there was.
Hold on. Let me just say something. I don't have a problem, and you criticize, and you have a right to do that. And with me, I don't feel comfortable with Republicans or Democrats. I feel comfortable with a moral platform, and I find a lot of good in the Republicans' moral platform than I do in Democrats. Hmm. But my point is, all I'm asking, I'm not asking for you to cut the cake the way I want it to be cut. I'm just saying just cut it fair, and don't throw a dig at the Muslim community when you're trying to get a point over, and unless you really want to bring it on the table and tell us what you're talking about.
Amos won't let me respond to you.
We don't need that, okay?
Hold on, my brother Sadiq. Let me respond.
Good.
Because when I heard the remark, I kind of thought you were kind of maybe coming awful close to the line of showing disrespect to one group of faith believers.
I wasn't trying to show disrespect to that one group of faith believers. I was pointing out that he was promoting changing our educational system and including a religious doctrine into our educational system, while at the same time people are talking about separation of church and state, and the only thing they mean is the separation of the Christian community from the state.
Let me ask this. It has been the Republican Party in this state and others, and we now have the most extensive it's called school scholarships, but it's really vouchers to allow parents to have the choice to attend a private school.
Thank God.
I've not looked at the list recently, so I think that one of the Muslim schools is on the choice list.
I don't know.
If it was, is that okay with you? Because there are Catholic schools, there are Protestant schools, there are apostolic schools on that list.
And
Jewish schools.
That is okay with me because that is a choice selection. Mm-hmm. As the only, I can only say what I hope their doctrines and what their curriculum is going to be. Mm-hmm. If it supports the Constitution of the United States and does not promote Sharia law over the governing the laws of our country, fine. If it supports the civil rights of an individual and women in our nation as a whole, I'd say fine. But there's nothing in the Muslim culture that supports either one of those standpoints. So from that standpoint, I would be skeptical of the school. But I do not know anything about it right now.
Let me go to one other thing before we take a break. From an African-American Republican standpoint, you may disagree with me. Mm-hmm. Are we at a point where at least African-American Republicans should be supportive of, at least in this area? I don't want to speak to other states because voting rules are state-driven for the most part.
Right.
To be able to ease up on allowing early voting. And early voting in at least two or three other locations other than the city county building, and explore shifting the voting hours to be accommodating not only to voters here in the city, but voters in the suburbs, because I'm still convinced that it does a disservice to people who live in the Republican suburban counties that you got to get home by 6 o'clock. And if you can't get through that traffic jam on I-69 mm-hmm. to get to Fishers and Carmel by six, I've always felt that's unfair to them. Why is it that we don't see African-American Republicans talking about making voting, I don't say easier, more convenient for people?
You don't see.
Because you guys get, the Republicans get slammed with, you're making voting harder.
Well,
and
it's not,
and less convenient.
What you have, you have some younger Republicans who, number one, don't want to acknowledge affirmative action. Okay, you don't hear anybody talking about affirmative action anymore, including Mayor Ballard. Okay, you don't
even
hear anybody,
though the party has done affirmative action with this ticket.
No, but you've got a new breed of younger people. Mm-hmm. Okay, they don't want to be held accountable for giving African Americans an even playing field. Okay, mm-hmm. Now the very person that voted not for the party, I disagreed with him. Mr. Dietrich was the Republican on the county. I don't know him that well. Mm-hmm. But now he is a slated Superior Court judge. Mm-hmm. He's elected on May 6th.
Right.
So when you see, our people need to look at the backgrounds and remember those people who take your rights away. Because when you give a judge power, he's got the power until the next election, unless the Supreme Court has to move him for some unknown reason.
And this is the one that voted against making voting more convenient.
And I did not agree with that vote.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in making voting opportunities accessible to any and everyone. But you have younger white Republicans who think if they can control the number of people that go to the polls, they stand a chance of winning an election.
239-1310, 239-1310's afternoon's name is. We're talking with members of the African-American Republican Council of Marion County. You may be hearing things you disagree with. You may be hearing things you agree with. Weigh in. 239-1310. A lot more after these. All right, let me go through these callers. Let me go to Bob. Hi, Bob.
Okay.
Bob?
I was calling. One thing y'all got correct is that we need other things besides kids trying to go to college. In Hamilton County up in Carmel, they have all of the carpenter shop, mechanic shop. They got all these skills that the guys go through up there while they're in high school.
Yeah, Carmel High School.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm finding, and I used to work there, that kids that didn't have any interest in the math and the other skills that they needed, once they got in there, they had to have them, and they could focus on where they needed to use them at. I'll hang up and wait for y'all's answer.
Let me just say, Carmel, Ben Davis, they have great vocational programs. What I'm interested in, where are the great vocational programs in the inner city? We're talking about Tech High School. We're talking about, we can say Northwest. We can say John Marshall. We need
shut them down.
We still need training and programs, and it doesn't have to necessarily be out there. And
does that open a door for a charter focused on vocational? I mean, that's not the med school. The med school is more, if you got a problem in a traditional school, you go to the med school.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that's a.
That's
I could talk
idea.
All day
that's
on that.
A charter school for vocational education.
That's what
well,
says.
Amos, that's kind of a sore point with me because I'm a graduate of the old Harry Wood High School,
and they closed that
and
down.
It was primarily in 1952. Mm-hmm. Richard Emery opened it up as a vocational high school, and in 1965, when I graduated, we had people graduating with dental assistants degrees, barbers with barber's license, beauticians with beautician's license,
mechanics,
and also metalmen with points for a metalworking journeyman's card out of high school.
Well, I don't know whether you heard yesterday, Tom Schneider, the president of Ivy Tech, was here and dropped a bomb that they've shifted the math rules starting next school year. Where if you're moving in like the nursing tech or more technical tech, then you don't have to do that crazy algebra that's in the college tech. You'll have some other math to go there because I think they figured out – that ain't working.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's okay. That's a move, but it still doesn't address the fundamental foundation, and that is a curriculum designed to create people who are going to be in the working class and not in the scholastic class, because most college educational programs are designed to create.
And Snyder used a similar phrase, Reverend, to what you just said yesterday. Let me go to Dwayne right quick at 239-1310. Hi, Dwayne.
Hi, how you doing, Amos?
Fine.
And to the panel also. First of all, I want to say that I love the answer that she gave about Abdul. That was great. secondly, I've always wondered about the Republican Party. It just seems like there's a divide between the young Republicans and the older Republicans as far as the Tea Party and the young Republican movement. My thing is, I see that there's no diversity like what's in the Democratic Party. And my question is, what are y'all doing to try to get more diversity as far as women, black men, Hispanics, what have you? Even when it comes to, you know, I would like to know how you feel about the gay and lesbian community as far as diversity in that also, because times is changing, things is changing. And it just seems like the Republican Party is just sticking to the old school way of doing things and whatnot. And it seems like the younger Republican Party is trying to get the older Republican Party to understand y'all need to change something about this.
Good point. Where is the broader sense of diversity?
Okay. Number one, let me, if you give me 1 minute, I want to put this out there. AARC meets the first Monday of each month from 6 to 8 o'clock at the 42nd and College Avenue Library in the community room. So if anyone's interested in learning what the Republican Party's about and willing to be trained or recruited as future candidates, that's what we're in the business of doing.
What?
Identifying talent to come forward. You got to remember, anyone that becomes a candidate for public office in any political party, they have to want to run. The party does not make you run. So if you think you have an interest in becoming more active in your government or politics,
it's from the bottom up.
It's from the bottom up.
So what day of the month at the 40? You're not at the Columbia Club and you're not at some vodka bar. You're at the library in 42nd of College.
That's right. On the first Monday of each month from now through December.
First Monday of each. Except Labor Day.
September is the only one. Thank you. I got a question mark. I've got to wait and see when people are available.
All right, 239-1310. 239-1310. Let me go back to the phones and right quick. And Mike will be our last caller with the folks from the African American Republican Council of Marion County. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Fine.
I'd like to say this is the first Republican I've ever heard actually make some sense. Your female guest, I didn't get to catch her name.
Jocelyn Tandy Dunde.
Keep that name in mind.
The first Republican actually admit about the voting issue here. So maybe you shouldn't associate yourself with the Republican Party. You might need your own party.
No, I'm one of the reasons you have voter ID. Yeah, so don't. Hey, no, sir. I've been out here 40 years, and voter ID protects your right to vote.
Yes, it does.
Okay, and the Democrats are against voter ID. Now I am for satellite voting. Okay. But I also support Todd Rokita, the former Secretary of State, who pushed through. This was an issue I was pushing, and it took the Republican Secretary of State to get it done. So voter ID is an issue I would stand on and swear by.
Okay, I got one other thing. Yeah. Why is it the Republican Party won all of us? The first time in my lifetime I've heard anybody questions of cheating and voting was during the Bush-Gore era. Then all of a sudden, Republicans are concerned about cheating, and they the ones got accused of it.
No, you said plenty of cheating in northern Indiana, sir, in the history of the state.
Yes,
in a lot of Democrat areas, were people indicted and sent to prison in Indiana.
Yes.
So even though they claimed that there was no voter fraud in Marion County, as a former candidate, I can tell you there was fraud. It was just not
prosecuted.
Correct.
All right, I appreciate it. So, again, you guys meet the first Monday of every month from 6 to 8 at the library at 42nd and College. designed by Walter Blackburn.
Republican. Yeah, that's right. Black Republican. Walter Blackburn, now, that architect.
That could have been the RNC ad. lifting up Walter and lifting up.
You're right.
You know, Rance Priebus. Why do I get the feeling Rance going to get an email from Jocelyn? Why do I get the feeling Reggie Jones, Reverend Carl Kelly, Jocelyn Tandy, and Dante. Guys, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.